All right. Well, you guys already know, and I told them ahead of time kind of the questions that I was going to ask them so they could be prepared, but you got a little bit of a trial run with the other guys. So how has God changed your life since you put your faith in him and were baptized?
Well, for me, Jennifer always told me, my wife Jennifer, she said, just leave everything up to God. And I never really understood what that meant until, you know, as I've walked my faith and I'm a lot stressful, you know, a lot less stressful, you know, stress-free. And I just, you know, I'm not saying I'm not stressed at times, but it has really helped to know that God's there to, you know, to have prayer and to leave all my stress and, you know, let it out. And I know, you know, from since I've been walking with him, you know, my life is I just feel like I'm happier, you know. I'm just me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Delma Sue?
Well, it's helped me to stay calm in the midst of the storm, because we all have challenges. We all have things that go on every single day. And it just helps me to stay calm in the middle, knowing that he's got it and he can take care of everything.
And you're welcome, Delma Sue, to speak on behalf of Norman and Austin, too. You see, Norman and Austin also are baptized, but, you know, like I said, not everyone is comfortable coming up and talking, and that's fine, because you don't have to be able to talk to a group to follow Jesus. I know Norman and Austin's hearts, and I know that they love Jesus, and God has been working in their life, too. So feel free, as long, you know, obviously with their permission, you don't have to share anything that they wouldn't want you to share, but feel free if there's anything you want to add on their behalf as well. But how about as far as trusting in Jesus, has it been worth it to you? And if someone were to ask you that, why would you say it has been worth it?
I would say that it's definitely worth it, because I fail Jesus every single day, and he still shows me his mercy. And, I mean, most recently we've had some medical things that have been going on, and he's just shown his mercy both to my child, to myself, and to my husband.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I can kind of agree with that. And it's just like yesterday, we had a memory of my brother, and so many people in this church showed up, and it really, really surprised me. And it's amazing how God can work through them, you know, and to help others out. So it really, really touched me that everybody from this church, you know, that came really, really touched me.
Yeah, great picture of community, of family, church being family. How have you endured and stuck with it this past year, just through the ups and downs of just everyday life? You guys have both mentioned, of course, stuff you've gone through recently. How have you been able to endure and continue your faith in Christ?
I think the disciple group has helped a lot, you know, and just staying in the Word and setting up your goals. And, you know, for me, it's easier to have it on my phone. And, you know, it kind of measures where I'm at with my plan, and staying in the Word and staying close and praying a lot with the children and every day on the way to work, and just constantly reinforcing that and knowing that I seek to be better every day, and I can only be better with his help and knowing what his Word says.
Amen. True of all of us, absolutely. How about you, Robbie?
Yeah, it you know, being in the Word of God really, really, you know, brings you out in a person, you know. And I listen a lot to K-Love, and, you know, that's very soothing. And, you know, just following his Word, really, you know, I would say that if you just let it all into him, you know, you'll change, I promise you.
Amen. Amen. Good word. Good word. What would you say, and Norman, you feel free as well with this question, if you want to add anything just about how God has been blessing you this past year, but what would you guys say to someone, at the kind of the last question I asked the other folks, if someone is here tonight and they're thinking, yeah, maybe I want to follow Jesus, I want to give my life to Jesus, but I'm just not sure, what would be your counsel, your advice to them as they process that decision on whether or not they are going to decide to give their life to Jesus?
Well, I think it has to be an individual choice for each person, and they have to really kind of look deep in their heart, and it's not up to us so much to try to make someone mm-hmm. come to Jesus. They think that they have to do it on their own, and, you know, and we just have to help guide them. And I've never met any person that's ever regretted giving their life to Jesus, and that's
Amen.
One thing I can say. I've never regretted that. I've never met anybody that's ever regretted it.
Amen. Amen.
Just kind of like what I was just saying, you know, I wouldn't be up here talking, because I've never been a person that would stand up in front of people. You know, I don't, you know, he had to change me, because I would be, you know, I'm still nervous, you know, but there ain't no way, you know, that I'd be standing up here right now talking.
Amen. Amen. Norman, you want to add anything?
He's nervous.
I do. Yeah. Me too.
Hey, that's all right. They still say in America the number two most common fear. You guys can have a seat. Good job. Let's give them a round of applause for their bravery. They still say the number two most common fear of people in America is the fear of public speaking. And so, I mean, that Robbie, that's a good testimony. I mean, most people, this would scare them to death. And not everybody has a big, loud mouth like I do that's willing to stand up here and talk. The number one, by the way, most common fear is fear of snakes, and that is scare me to death. So you put some snakes up here, and I won't come up here either. But so I want to read a few verses. If you were here this morning, you know that we've been talking about, we've been going through 1 Samuel, some different passages in 1 Samuel, talking about the fall of King Saul, the downfall of King Saul, and becoming the villain, how he started out this good guy and everything was good, and then he became the villain. He became the bad guy. He became an enemy of God, and how we oftentimes think of ourselves as the heroes, or at least the good guys in our life story, but sometimes the things we say and the things we do can facilitate us becoming the villain. And so I've been trying to encourage those of you who have been here on Sunday mornings to kind of examine your own heart and say, how can I make sure that I don't fall into the same traps as King Saul? So what I want to do is I want to read a few verses starting in 1 Samuel 15. I want to read, we read this morning, we finished at verse 23. I want to go a little further and just talk about an application for our life that kind of fits well with what we've been hearing tonight from these testimonies. So starting in verse 22, which is right towards the end of where we finished this morning, 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, Samuel said, "Does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? Look, to obey is better than sacrifice. To pay attention is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and defiance is like wickedness and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." Saul answered Samuel, "I have sinned. I have transgressed the Lord's command and your words. Because I was afraid of the people, I obeyed them." We talked about that already, how that was Saul's fear. He was afraid of what other people would do, what other people would think, rather than trusting and having faith in the Lord, and rather than having fear of the Lord, which is what the Bible calls us to have. Verse 25, it says, "Now therefore, please forgive my sin and return with me so I can worship the Lord." This is important because you read this, you hear those words, and you think, oh, okay, so Saul's turning things around. Things are better for Saul, right? But we know if we continue to read the story, there was no change in Saul's life. There was no repentance. There was no genuine faith in God. It was simply, what can I get out of this? And so tonight you hear these awesome testimonies, and one thing that's so encouraging to me when I think about every single one of those who shared this evening, and also Rick who shared this morning, Rick Kroll, it's been clear to me the evidence over the past year in their lives, how God has worked, and all of them testified to the reality of the need for being involved in a church, the need for being in God's word, the need for having that accountability and that discipleship that we all need. And the key there is that there was genuine repentance and faith, whereas with Saul, who became the villain, he had it all, he had everything, and he became the villain. Why? Because there was no repentance. He sinned just like you and I do. He made mistakes just like you and I do. As we saw this morning, he didn't keep all of the word. He was trying to pick and choose that the same thing that you and I are tempted to do at times when things get difficult and we think, yeah, I know God's word says this, but I'm not sure I can do that, and we fail. But with Saul, he was at peace with that. He was content to stay with that and not change, not be changed by God. So verse 26, Samuel replied to Saul, "I will not return with you because you rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel." When Samuel turned to go, Saul grabbed the hem of his robe and it tore. Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingship of Israel away from you today and has given it to your neighbor who is better than you. Furthermore, the Eternal One of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man who changes his mind." You see, God is perfect. God is holy. God knows everything. We don't catch him by surprise. And God knew everything that was going to happen to Saul. But he chose him. He set him apart. He gave him an opportunity. Saul was still responsible. And that's how it is for every single one of us here tonight. We're responsible before God. I like what Delma Sue said earlier when I said, what would you say to someone that needs to make that decision? And she's absolutely right. It's got to be a personal decision. Nobody can force it on you. Your mom and dad can't force it on you. Your spouse can't force it on you. The church can't force it on you. You have to make that decision to surrender yourself to Jesus Christ with all your heart. And only then does that decision, something that you will see transform your life, because it's not about you transforming your life. It's not about you doing enough to be a good person, to do enough to get to heaven. It's about Jesus Christ taking over your heart and giving you a desire to follow him, giving you a longing to know him and to walk with him and to serve him. And so what happens so often is we come to something like this, or we come to a Sunday morning and we think, oh, that's good. I want to experience that blessing that Amber talked about, how she used to be so discouraged and now she has so much joy. I want that for myself. And so I'm going to do that. I'm going to do what she did. And we try to manufacture it. And it maybe becomes an outward religious thing. I'm going to start going to church, and I'm going to start doing this, and I'm going to read my Bible. And I know, because I used to be that person. And I went through all the motions, and I tried to look the part and play the part, and yet it wasn't real, just like Saul. I was making up my own religion, in a sense, because I was picking and choosing what I wanted to do to obey the word of God rather than obeying it in full. And none of us can obey it in full. And so that's why Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sins, knowing that none of us can fulfill all of this perfectly. But when he died and rose again, not only did he give us a way to have eternal life, but he gave us a way to live in victory today. That victory in Jesus that we sang about, we can walk in that victory today. How, you say, how can I do that? Well, as you rely on the Lord, as all of these guys testified to, as you rely on the Lord, as you walk in prayer, as you hold yourself accountable and have others hold you accountable, as you stay involved in the church, and as you walk in dependence upon God through the work of his Holy Spirit in your heart, you can walk in victory today, every day, walking, growing closer to Jesus Christ, growing in your faith, and living out that victory so that God's desires become your desires. And you want to do the things that are in his word. You no longer are saying, hey, I don't want to do that. Like Delma Sue said, and I think Amber mentioned it, Katie, I mean, I think all of them mentioned it. Have you ever met anyone that gave their lives to Jesus Christ and regretted it? No, you're not going to. If someone has genuinely placed his or her faith in Jesus Christ, you're not going to talk to that person and say, you're not going to hear them say, yeah, I became a follower of Jesus, but I'm just not sure it was the right decision. You're not going to find that. If they know Jesus, they're grateful they did, because they know what he is doing, not only for their eternal life, but every day right now, helping them to walk with him. So again, one of my encouragements to you tonight, maybe while we're eating cake and ice cream in the fellowship hall in a few minutes, or maybe later this evening, or maybe later this week or this month, is to pull some of these guys aside and get to know their story. And maybe you've got questions for them. Maybe you're going to say, you know what, I feel like what you were talking about, how you used to feel. How did you get to where you are today? How can I experience that? What do I need to do? Pull me aside or pull somebody else aside. Make sure that if you need to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ, you do that. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song. We're going to sing the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And that's a great response to this message. And we're going to try to get the computer fixed, but if not, it's on page 305 in your hymnals. I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And we'll sing that, and that'll be an opportunity for you to come forward this morning if you need to make a decision to follow Jesus yourself, or this evening, if you need to make that decision, I'd be honored to pray with you. So let's pray, and then in just a moment, we'll sing that song. And after we sing, James Smiley will come up and give thanks for the food we're about to eat and pray somehow miraculously that God would use that food to nourish our bodies. It's not possible physically, but God can do anything. So James will pray for that when he comes up. And that way, as soon as we finish that song and James prays, everybody will be welcome to go back into the fellowship hall and grab cake and ice cream and have some time of fellowship. But let's pray right now. Father, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for the testimonies that we heard this evening. I thank you for Ryan and Amber and Katie, and I thank you for Delma Sue and Norman and Austin. I thank you this morning for Rick and also Elaine Bloss, who wasn't able to be here this evening. I thank you for each of them and what you've done in their lives this past year, and how you've spoken to me and you've spoken to others through their testimonies, through their example, through their faith. I do pray that you would help them to continue to walk in faith, to walk in endurance, to walk upright closely with you and help us to be challenged by their testimonies, to do the things that they talked about, to be in your word, to be in prayer, to be involved in your church, and to be involved in discipleship, and to have those people in our lives that would help us to grow and that we could help to grow. Father, we know that every one of us in this room, without exception, needs all of those things. So we pray for your help tonight. And we pray especially for those who are here who have yet to follow you with all their hearts, to give their lives to you, to make that decision to follow Jesus. Please compel them tonight to respond to your word, to the goodness of who you are and the goodness of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.